Good morning, everyone. So glad to that you're tuning in this morning. So thankful for you. We miss you guys and can't wait to see you in person someday, but we completely understand if you're not feeling comfortable coming out just yet to church. We are meeting at the church 9:15, 11:15, and 2 p.m., and you could be a part of any of those services if you like. You could pick one, and Rain, Snow, Sleet, or Shine, we're meeting there with small groups of people and keeping our distance. But we love that you're tuning in online. We love that, and we're so glad to have you being a part of our service this way. I want to share with you a message this morning. Jesus, the Jungle and a Village of Hope is the title of my message. And I was thought this week of a memory from my past. During my childhood, many of my days would begin the same. My father would prepare to head off to work, and he would scoop me up out of my bed as a child and put me in the back seat of his car, and he would drive about a mile to my babysitter's home early in the morning, and he'd drive down the road, get to my aunt and uncle's home, scoop me up again out of the back seat, put me on my aunt's and uncle's couch. My aunt would throw a blanket over me and pop in a VHS tape, and I would watch The Jungle Book. And that was my routine many days a week, you know, for years. And I would be half asleep watching The Jungle Book as a child. And I could just remember watching that movie until my cousins would awake and we'd all have breakfast and head out and have our day. But if you're unfamiliar with the story of The Jungle Book, it's a story of a little Indian boy, Mowgli, and he's found in a broken canoe in the middle of the Indian jungle. And he's there, he's alone, he's in a little basket. And his parents were maybe, I don't know, killed by wild animals. But a panther finds him, Bagheera, and he sees this little boy, Mowgli. He hears him crying there, and he takes him to a wolf pack who has a bunch of wolf cubs. And this wolf family raises Mowgli and teaches him their way of life. And all is well for about 10 years until a wicked tiger named Shere Khan shows up. And when Shere Khan shows up, the wolf elders decide the safest thing for the wolves and for Mowgli is for him to leave the wolf pack. And Bagheera, the panther, decides that the safest place for Mowgli to be is in the man village. And so the rest of the story, Bagheera is leading and encouraging Mowgli to head through the jungle and to show up there, you know, in the man village. And so there's many dangers to be faced during this time. And he doesn't want to leave the jungle. Mowgli doesn't want to leave the jungle, but Bagheera, taking responsibility, just continually encourages him, no, you need to leave the jungle. You need to get to a safe place. And he delivers him to the edge of the village, and there Mowgli, although he fights him all along the way, in the end, he realizes too that it's best for him, and mostly through intrigue, he enters into the man village. And Mowgli would have been dead two times over apart from Bagheera's concern and intervention. And his persistence about a truth Mowgli didn't want to hear. And so Bagheera just persistently gave him a truth that he didn't want to hear. And Jesus does that. And John 8:21, out of that same heart of compassion and love and protection, he gives a message that many don't want to hear. But in that message, he provides life and salvation and protection just for Mowgli. And Jesus does it for us. So I want to read to you from John chapter 8, verses 21 and following. And this is what it says. Later, Jesus said to them, I'm going away. You will search for me, but you'll die in your sin. You cannot come where I'm going. And so that's a very strong statement that Jesus makes. And sin is that which separates us from God, ourselves, and those around us. And it always promises what it cannot deliver. And the reason God hates sin is it because it brings separation. It brings a divide between us and Him. And He knows that it's not good for us. You know, that we'll break ourselves on that very sin. And so Jesus confronts these people. Even then, though Mowgli didn't want to leave the village, you know, Bagheera confronted him. No, you need to. You have to. And Jesus is confronting the people who are hearing him. And he says, you don't have real faith. You don't have saving faith. You don't have the faith that you need to survive. And so in the words of Bagheera, you can't stay here and live. And so Jesus challenges these people. You need to find faith. You need to have faith. And so in John chapter 8:22, the people asked, is he planning to commit suicide? What does he mean, you cannot come where I'm going? That just shows how much confusion there was about the message Jesus was bringing from the Father, the message he was bringing from heaven. There was so much confusion. What does he mean? Is he crazy? What's going on? Does he mean to get rid of himself? What on earth is he talking about? And so Jesus was so misunderstood. And Jesus was trying to get this message across. The way things are, you can't enter the kingdom. The way things are, you can't encounter the presence of the Father. The way things are, you can't sit at the king's table or enjoy the Father's house. You don't have the faith that you need. You haven't crossed from death to life. And so Jesus is sounding the alarm. He's saying, hey, you need this. You need this message. So, and verses 23 through 24, Jesus continued. He says, you are from below. And he's speaking to many Pharisees. He's speaking to many religious leaders, people who have lashed out against him, or people who aren't receiving his ministry. And Jesus continued, you're from below. I am from above. You belong to this world. I do not. In verse 24, that's why I said, you'll die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins. And so Jesus does. He sounds the alarm. And this is life and death. Unless you believe, he says. Unless you believe. You know, I'm not of this world. As we approach the end of the age, which the Bible tells us we are approaching the end of the age, if you are of this world, you'll lose whatever faith you may have. That's what the Bible says. The love of many will grow cold. That's agape. That's Christian love. Christian love will grow cold. So as we approach the end of the age, if your faith is based on this world, you'll lose your way. But Jesus said, I'm not of this world. And so we have to be of another world. We're citizens of another world, the scriptures tell us. You know, we have to find a faith that's not of this world, the faith of Jesus. We need to be filled with faith in who Jesus is. We need to be awakened to another world. And so, Jesus challenges each one listening to him, find real faith. He sounds the alarm, find real faith. And the people said, who are you? They demanded, who are you? Explain to us, who are you? And Jesus replied, the one I have always claimed to be, the one whom I've claimed to be from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to condemn, but I won't. For I say only what I've heard from the one who sent me, and he is completely truthful. But they still didn't understand that he was talking about his Father. I love that. Jesus replied, the one I've always claimed to be. I have much to say about you and much to condemn, but I won't, for I say only what I've heard from the one who sent me, and he is completely truthful. You know, who are you? And Jesus' response is, I am. You know, I am. And he goes on to allude, I'm God in the flesh. And specifically, the much-loved Son of the Father, who, as we talked about last week, wants so badly to give us his relationship with the Father. That's what Jesus longs to do. He longs to give us his relationship with the Father, the messenger with a capital M, the messenger from heaven, who faithfully delivers the truth is in fact himself the truth. He says, I'm the one whom I've been telling you from the beginning. I am Messiah. I am the Son of God. I'm God in the flesh. I've come to deliver a message that you need. And he's sounding the alarm. You need faith. You need saving faith. You need the faith that transforms. You need faith from another world. You need the faith that I offer. You need me, Jesus is saying. And so he challenges these people listening. And then something very powerful happens here in verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. Again, I am. I am he. When you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, the most compassionate act of God, the most loving act in the history of the world, you know, Jesus on the cross, it's an amazing thing. And he says, when you have lifted up, and you religious leaders who are rejecting me, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. I love that Jesus is delivering a message, and he's saying only what the Father has told him to say. And he says, I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father has taught me, and the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do what pleases him. And Jesus, he always did what the Father told him. He always did what pleased the Father. He only spoke what the Father told him to speak. And he delivered, he faithfully delivered. God in the flesh delivered the message of heaven to us. And Jesus here is sounding the alarm. You need me. You need faith in me. You need what I have to offer. And it's the only way to life. And the awesome thing about this is that Jesus is saying, when you lift me up on the cross, it's the greatest act of love, self-giving love, agape love. And this is the beauty of Jesus' confrontation with unbelief. He's not satisfied with allowing these people to walk in a faith that is going to do nothing. He's challenging their faith. They need to move from unbelief to belief, from death to life. They need to move to faith. And the beautiful thing about this, again, is that it says that many believed in him. You know, Jesus loved them too much not to confront what was threatening to destroy them. And he confronted the sin of unbelief in their lives. Jesus didn't write people off. He didn't say that they were too far gone. He didn't act like they weren't worth the effort. He went into a tough situation. He even gave his life to say, you know, I love you too much not to confront this sin of unbelief. I love you too much not to tell you that you need faith. You're not going to make it without it. And that you need me for life. And so in verse 30, it says an awesome way to end this confrontational passage. These hard words that Jesus speaks, an awesome way to end this passage is verse 30. And it says this, then many who heard him say these things believed in him. And that was what Jesus was going after. Verse 30, then many who heard him say these things believed in him. And that was worth all the effort in the world for Jesus. You know, John the Baptist spoke to the message that Jesus brought. He spoke to the life that he lived. And this is what John the Baptist said about Jesus' message that he brought from the Father. He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are of the earth and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. He testifies about what he has seen and heard, but how few believe what he tells them. Anyone who accepts his testimony can affirm that God is true, for he is sent by God. He speaks God's words, for God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. and anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. I want to ask you this morning, do you believe? Do you have faith in God's Son? You can accept Him right now and believe and trust Him. And if you would like to do that, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I pray that You'd forgive me of my sins. I accept what You did for me on the cross, and I thank You. I pray that You'd come into my life and fill me with Your Holy Spirit. I pray You'd become the leader of my life and lead me forward. And I pray for real faith, Your faith in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And if you've prayed that prayer, you know, you've become a Christian. God is with you. I challenge you, just begin reading the book of John. Read it over and over, and God will meet you there. And He'll encourage you. He'll strengthen you. Pray each day. Read a little of the Bible each day, and let God strengthen you. You know, get in around other believers and let them encourage you. And let them know you've made this decision. It's the most important decision we make in our lives, and it's not a one-time decision. It's a daily decision that we submit ourselves to the leadership of Jesus, that we give our hearts and our lives to Him. Now, he gave His all for us, you know, and He asks for us to give Him all of our hearts. And so if you've done that today, I celebrate with you. God is for you. He loves you. And Jesus, He's moving in this time, and such a powerful truth. I love, you know, how this story ends. You know, the story, Mowgli's story. In the end, he left the jungle for the village of man. And he left with an incredible story that would be legendary, I'm sure, in his village. Here's a little boy left as a child. We all thought he was dead and gone. And yet he's still alive. You know, he lived in the wilderness. He lived in the jungle. There's no way that he should have survived, but here he is. And his story will speak to the villagers of hope for years to come. It'll speak to the villagers of providence and the power of miracle, God's miracles, you know, that life is possible beyond what we could ever know or believe, and that faith is so important, that we don't lose faith. And so whenever Mowgli got to the edge of the village, it was a struggle, it was a journey, but Bagheera saw that he got there, and that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. The Holy Spirit has got us to the point of decision where we can make a decision. The Holy Spirit has got us to the edge of the village, to the place where we can choose, will we enter in? And Jesus got these people to the edge of the village, to the point of decision. Will you have faith? Will you believe in me? Will you place your trust in me? And Jesus got them to that place, and the Bible tells us in verse 30, many did. It's an amazing truth, and I'm just for us as believers that we need to trust that God is leading us. And then the point of decision is this: will we live our lives for Jesus? Will we enter the kingdom of God? Will we live each day for the kingdom of God? Will we pray on earth as it is in heaven and invite the kingdom every day through our lives? So Bagheera, just that picture of the Holy Spirit, of protection, of leading, of guiding, of getting Mowgli to that place where he could enter into the kingdom. The Holy Spirit's leading you today. And I want to encourage you, the Holy Spirit has got us here to this point of decision. Jesus says the sin of unbelief will keep us out of the kingdom. And so maybe we just need to renounce unbelief today. Maybe we just need to leave it behind and leave it right where you are and receive the kingdom afresh. And so I'd like for you to take a moment, just in closing, just take a moment and invite the Holy Spirit to come. And invite the Holy Spirit to come and plunge the depths of who you are, to plunge the depths of your being, and to find any unsurrendered thing and to show it to you, and that you could receive His power to leave it to leave it behind and to move forward into that new village of freedom, and that he would come with his presence and fill that place with his manifest presence, fill that place with the overflowing presence of the Holy Spirit, and that you could receive healing. There are things that are separating you from God that the Holy Spirit would love for you to leave behind today. Maybe it's just unbelief. Maybe it's a lack of love. Maybe you're holding on to bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. Maybe it's something else. But let's invite the Holy Spirit to plunge the depths of us, to set us free, to lead us forward into the kingdom. And so Jesus, he loves you too much not to confront unbelief. You know, this is a time when we need to draw near to God. Our faith cannot last if it's built upon this world. You know, our faith cannot last if our faith is simply asking God to be our divine butler and to bless all the decisions we're really making out of our own flesh and out of our own what's best for us. You know, that's not real faith. Real faith is saying, Jesus, you're Lord. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. I'm going to let you drive. I'm going to let you make the decisions, and I'm going to follow you. Not asking God to be our divine butler. I'm going to drive, and come bless me. Come bless me. You know, come give me what I want and what I need. That's not faith. Jesus is sounding the alarm. That won't get you into the kingdom. But real faith is that surrender and that invitation. And so I just encourage you today. God loves you more than you could ever dream. He gave his life for you. He gave everything. And so let's pray together. Holy Spirit, I pray you plunge the depths of our hearts. Find any unsurrendered thing. Reveal it to us, Lord. And we reject and we renounce that in Jesus' name. We pray you'd set us free. God, we pray for your strength, your leading, your wisdom, your guidance. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill us and that you'd heal the broken places within us. And by faith, we pray today, Lord Jesus, fill us with your faith. Fill us with your Spirit. We want to follow you. And just make that personal in prayer right now. Lord, I renounce and reject sin in my life, and you can name it. Lord, I renounce this particular sin in my life. I reject these things. I know that they're the enemy's plan to keep me from what you want me to have. Lord, deliver me from sin. Lead me forward into your glorious presence, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would be the Lord of my life and lead me forward. Lord, I want true faith and I want to live the rest of my life for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And so the Lord is with you. The Lord is kind and gracious. He confronts us. He disciplines us like a loving father, not to hurt us, but to get us free. And to show us the way forward, that we could become whole, that we could become healed inside, that we could think his way, that we could experience an abundant life. Jesus said he came that we could have an abundant life. And so those are what God's heart is for you. And I just encourage you today. He's for you. He loves you. He's with you. And follow him. And each day will be so sweet as you just experience his presence and walk with him. God loves you. He's for you. And hope to see you soon. God bless you.